Good morning. Over the summer, we've looked at Joshua and seen how God develops our faith so that he can use us and bless us. We saw him prepare the people as they went into the promised land. We saw him go before them, and they learned how to listen to him, to do things his way. Now we're looking at Acts and seeing how God used Paul to spread the gospel through Turkey and later into Greece, spreading the gospel outside of Israel itself. And this is the first missionary journey, as we call it, that Paul is setting out on, and he is learning how to carry the gospel out into new territory. Last week we saw Paul and Barnabas being called by God and appointed to move out amongst the Gentiles, just as Joshua led the people into the promised land. We saw him go to Cyprus, and in verse 4, the two of them headed out with John Mark as their helper to Cyprus, and they're en route to parts of modern Turkey, sent on their way by the Holy Spirit. Now they have to work out how to do things in a different way in this different culture. The elders a little while back asked Pauline and I and some others to look at how we as a church can reach out today in this changed culture and in this COVID world. And we've been praying and asking God to show us ways forward. So for example, Pauline and I tried prayer walking just around the little area that we live in and seeing God working in different people and different lives and giving us contacts where we'll be able to share and encourage. But we're looking for God-led ideas rather than just man's ideas. So let's see how Paul goes about it this morning. Note first that they did it as a team. There's the two of them, Paul and Barnabas and John Mark. So three altogether. And they have prayer backup from Antioch. There's a team there that are praying for them. And prayer is so important as we seek to do the work of God. But as a team working together, it strengthens us. We can encourage and support and help one another. So sharing what you're doing with others, for example, in your Barnabas group, is a really good way to support one another. I'm not going to read all 50 verses as we go through, but perhaps you've got a Bible to follow as I share would be a good thing to do. So in verse 5, on arrival in Cyprus, they go to the synagogues in Salamis. Then they move on with John Mark as their helper through the island. We don't hear much of what happens in Salamis, but as they go through the island and get to the other side, they bump into a Jewish sorcerer called Elymas, who is an opponent, and we saw last week what happened. But it gave them a link to the island official, to Sergius Paulus, the Roman proconsul, and he was a key figure of influence on the island. It came through someone who's trying to create opposition, but he wanted to hear what Paul and Barnabas had got to say. Elymas is trying to influence him against Paul and Barnabas, but God overrules, and we saw last week how he stepped in and blinded Elymas temporarily so that Sergius Paulus could see that God was a God of power. But verse 12, Sergius becomes the first named convert, a Gentile, the first fruit of their missionary journey. Verse 13, John Mark leaves them. Now that wasn't planned originally, and it made Paul angry. It took him a long time to recover from John Mark just, as it were, walking out on them. And, you know, it can be very painful. Things can happen. There is always opposition, but this is opposition from the inside. And that's really hard. It's very painful. In fact, it took some years for Paul and Mark to reconcile, but they did. And Mark became a great helper to Paul when he was in prison later on in his life. But they move on now, verse 14, to Pisidian Antioch. And again, they're headed to the synagogue where they're invited to speak. And that's a natural opportunity. If someone from outside comes and sits down, then they're invited often to speak and to share. And that's Paul's opportunity. So he takes that natural opportunity that's there for him. And there are Jews, but also there are Gentiles, God-fearing Gentiles, who have come to know something and understand something of the Jewish faith. And Paul shares a gospel message with both Jews and Gentiles. Verse 16 says this, "Standing up, Paul motioned with his hand and said, 'Men of Israel, you and the Gentiles who worship God, listen to me. the God of the people of Israel, chose our fathers. He made the people prosper during their stay in Egypt. And with mighty power, he led them out of that country. And then he takes them on a whole journey of faith. God chose our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and tells a story of how they went through slavery and release from Egypt to the new land that he gave them, to the time of judges and prophets, and then through to King David. He tells the whole story to put Jesus in context. It's told from God's perspective. As you listen to the story in verses 17 to 19, you hear God chose. He made prosper. He endured their conduct. He overthrew. He gave the land. And God, verses 20 to 23, God gave the judges. He gave them Saul. He made David king. He emphasizes the heart of David with God, describing him as a man after my own heart who will do everything I want him to do. Verse 23, from David's descendants, God has promised the Savior, Jesus, to Israel. And he speaks of John the Baptist and Jesus and repentance and baptism. Now the message of salvation has come to you, the Jews and Gentiles. Jesus' death was prophesied, he explains. He was raised from the dead. He was seen by many over many days, and they are witnesses to the fact. We tell you the good news as promised to our fathers, he says. The Saviour risen from the dead. And he explains it through Psalms, through two quotes in Psalms and a quote in Isaiah. And he finishes with a verse from Habakkuk, take care you don't scoff, as you're warned there. Verse says in Acts 13:41, look, you scoffers, wonder and perish, for I am going to do something in your days that you would never believe, even if someone told you. That's quoting Habakkuk 1, verse 5. And Paul leaves it there with the question of their reaction hanging over them. He's explained who Jesus is and how he fits in to their history, to their faith. He invites them to respond. But he says, think about your response, because Scripture warns that you will ignore it. And he leaves that question hanging over them, and they're left in suspense in verses 40 and 41. They want to know more, but Paul just sits down. You know, sometimes that's the right thing to do, not tell everyone everything, but actually leave them to ask questions, for them to start seeking and to start asking us. And as they go to leave in verse 42, it says, as Paul and Barnabas were leaving the synagogue, the people invited them to speak further about these things on the next Sabbath. And as he goes out, everyone is inviting him back. Outside the meeting, both Jews and Gentiles catch up with them and talk with them, and they're encouraged to continue in their spiritual journey. Verse 43 says, when the congregation was dismissed, many of the Jews and devout converts to Judaism followed Paul and Barnabas and talked with them and urged them to continue in the grace of God. Verse 44, the next week it's packed. Just everyone is there. It says, on the next Sabbath, almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of the Lord. And when the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy and started talking abusively against Paul and what he was saying. See, the Jewish leaders are immediately jealous. They hated their loss of influence, people listening to someone else, not them. Bigger crowd than they can ever draw. That's not on. We can't have that. And so they try and speak and influence against Paul, probably speaking over him as he tried to share. So Paul declares his calling to the Gentiles using Isaiah 49:6. He says, for this is what the Lord has commanded us. I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. And probably at that point he moved outside. The synagogue was flooded anyway. You couldn't have got everyone in the synagogue, in the crowds. And Paul went outside. In verse 48, he says, when the Gentiles heard this, that is Paul saying that he was a light for the Gentiles, when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and honored the word of the Lord, and all who were appointed for eternal life believed. The Gentiles are thrilled, and many come to faith. But note that phrase, all who were appointed for eternal life believed. You know, we speak to everyone. but not everyone will respond. We're to be faithful, but God alone can bring change to someone's heart. It's His work. Paul says, we plant, we water, but God gives the growth. 1 Corinthians 3:6. We need to be faithful, we need to share, but it is God who does the work in the heart of that person. We can't change them. We can't just persuade them. God has to open their eyes from the inside, the Holy Spirit work within them and challenge them and bring them to that place of faith. But the word spreads everywhere. It's all in the headlines. Everyone knows about Paul and the message that he has brought. And Satan is stirred. The Jewish leaders work behind the scenes to discredit Paul and Barnabas, to persecute them and to get them out of the area. They work with the local authorities and with women and people of influence. Verse 51, as Jesus taught the disciples, and the original 12 went out alone in Matthew 10 to share the gospel, if the town rejects you, if they don't have peace for you, then brush the dust off your feet. And as they go, they brush the dust off their feet. In verse 52, it says, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. The disciples are filled with joy and the Holy Spirit. It's not about Paul and Barnabas, but the new converts. The Holy Spirit and His work in them is crucial to their future, to future growth, to change. It has to be a work of the Holy Spirit. And this is God's work, it's not ours. But we co-labor with Him, prayerfully sowing, prayerfully planting, prayerfully watering, daily, by how we live, and then through our conversations. So what do we learn from all this for ourselves? What do we need to do? Well, first of all, we need a calling, just as Paul and Barnabas were called. And we have that in Matthew 28, 18 to 20. Jesus said to us, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. We are commissioned, we are called to share the gospel with those that we live amongst, to share about Jesus and to teach them. Secondly, we need courage. You remember when Joshua was going to go into the land? He needed courage. And Jesus said, be strong. God says to him, be strong and of good courage. Be strong and of good courage. He repeats the thing about four times in a few verses. Because we need courage to speak out. And so Paul too. Paul is encouraged. They prayed for him. They prayed over him. And Paul goes. So we need courage. Third, we need strategy. We need to look at how we're going to do it. And the synagogues are the places that Paul started, where there was already some understanding of faith, some understanding of Jewish faith. And there he could share about Jesus and put it in context for them. God can guide us and teach us, but we need to start where people are at and work from there. Fourthly, we need to speak out. Not loudly, but from alongside, as Jesus did. Matthew 12, 18 to 21, it says he was gentle. Jesus didn't cry out in the street. He was gentle in how he shared the gospel and the truth. It's God who provides encounters and opportunities. As we've done prayer walking, we've prayed and asked those opportunities. We've had all kinds of opportunities as we've done that. And I'll share about that in a minute. But God backing up our words, answering our prayers, stepping in on our behalf with people that we talk to. And we need to relate to them. We need to tell them the truth in a way that relates to them. We need to keep the gospel relevant in terms of context for them. But also we should leave people hungry, wanting to know more. We don't want to swamp them. We want to win them. And sometimes that means telling a little less than they want to know, so they're hungry to know more. They look forward to the next conversation, rather than feeling we dump trucked everything on them. Fifthly, we need to be ready for opposition and discouragement. Paul gets discouraged here by Elymas just trying to speak against him. And then these people later speak against him. Someone on the team suddenly leaving. You know, there's all kinds of things that can discourage us because Satan wants to stop what we're doing. But we need to trust God to walk with him. We need to encourage and support one another. But be ready to meet opposition and don't be surprised. Sixthly, we need persistence. With persistence, we will be encouraged as God touches those hearts that will respond to truth. Just to be persistent until God blesses and brings fruit. Persistent in prayer, persistent in sharing, persistent in looking for opportunities. I've been thinking recently about Market Harborough and how it's been impacted in the past. What did Robert Smythe do? In 1570, he left Market Harborough from London to try and find opportunity. He was from a very poor family and couldn't see a future for himself in Harborough. But God blessed him in London, and he developed skills to become an accountant and slowly moved up. By 1607, just 37 years later, he was in a very senior position in London. He was the comptroller of the City of London. He was the accountant for the whole business section of London. That was a huge role at that time. And what did he do to share his faith with his original hometown? Well, he came back to Harborough and provided bread for the poor. It was distributed every week. And he provided free schooling for able, capable, poor children who couldn't afford to go to school. And he built that school in the middle of the town. He built it on stilts to provide a shelter for market folk underneath and teaching for the kids above. And round that building, he wrote key scriptures. And actually at that time, he paid for a pastor to be around to share with people the meaning of those verses. What does Jesus say to us? He says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Matthew 5:16. Our lives and the things we do should point people towards a Father, towards faith. These don't have to be big things. They can be mostly everyday things. For a simple example, this week, a dead cat was found in our car park. And presumably someone from the church who found it took it to the vets for proper disposal. But also they could identify through the microchip whose cat it was, and that family could be told. On social media, this lady was just thanking whoever so kindly picked up the cat in our church car park and took it to the vet. And they said, thank you for that. Helping someone whose house was on fire this week and can't be lived in. They have to find a temporary home and just able to help them. In fact, someone, while the fire was there, offered their home keys to the couple who were standing outside their burning home and said, look, we're going on holiday. You can use our home while we're away. It's about caring. It's about being alongside. It's about sharing the source of our love. We need to tell people why it is that we believe what we believe. Because we want to point to Jesus. We don't want to point to ourselves, or we're kind, we're good. They need to know why we're doing those things. Our good works need to point to Jesus. You know, Lapson. Lapson is there in Malawi, drilling boreholes to provide for people who have no water. Recently, he's provided masks and soap and food support for people. And he's just been up to the Northern District providing Bibles for pastors there who don't have one. He is sowing seed. He is sharing the gospel. He is meeting the needs of people. And he will see a harvest from what he's doing. I said earlier, Pauline and I have been prayer walking our neighborhood after God spoke to us about it and challenged us to do it. And we've encouraged someone who started their own business. We're watching that grow and just praying for him. Met him several times. Last time I just walked into Homebase and met him there. I've never met him outside of his home or his drive. And he was sharing about what he was doing. He'd been given some money by some of the family to buy some tools. But just able to chat with him. Been encouraging and just supporting someone whose wife has terminal dementia. Just he goes and walks the dogs and just chatting with him. We re-engaged with someone from swimming classes many years ago. We bumped into them and talked to them about faith and what she was reading, and she was really interested. So, you know, God just gives opportunities as we get out amongst people. to be able to share, to be able to do things that are loving and caring, and to point to God. People know instinctively there is a God, but they're confused by the suffering and the pain that they see, the conflicting religions and arguments, and the false scientific propaganda that's around, as though somehow science has disproved faith, which is so untrue. Satan ensures confusion. He blinds the minds of unbelievers to the truth. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says this, "The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is in the image of God." Sharing life with them is an opportunity to open their eyes. The Holy Spirit can use our acts and our words to speak to them. But it needs to be words, not just acts, or they'll think we're just good people. We must point them to the Father. The elders have been looking at how we can get the message out during this COVID season, an era where we can't just bring everyone to church. It's hard to get close to people. They're looking at running virtual alpha. We're looking at creating a website linked to the church that explains faith and says more about us. It answers questions like, what is church? Why would I go to church? What about suffering, science and faith? And a blog of stories of things that God has done in the lives of people in our church, so you can see it's relevant, it's today. This is a way that we can help people find the information that they need to stimulate faith. It's the way people look, they go online to find out about things. We could create flyers to give to people that we speak to, so they can click on their phones and go to the website. We can tell people about how we help the poor in Malawi and Burkina Faso. We can show what's done in the town for people through the churches. The Cube for younger people. Bower House counselling services for people. Jubilee Food Bank to help those who've fallen on hard times. Street pastors to help protect people on the town streets at night. These are things that the churches do. Good works. But they need to point to the Father. We need to explain why we do all those things. Not everyone will listen, but it says in these verses, but everyone who is appointed to eternal life believed. Those who are appointed to eternal life will listen. We'll become part of their story, a story that will last forever. Our hearts and theirs will rejoice and be full of the Holy Spirit, just as we see here with Paul and Barnabas. We just need that courage to step out, to do good things, to bless people around us, to explain why we do that. Now, our message is straightforward. God made you and loves you and cares for you. We will experience opposition, but our actions are honest and gentle to show people God's love. We seek to help people have a positive impact on society. We focus on helping the weak and unfortunate for whom few care. There is nothing logical to dislike. Opposition is not logical. It is the enemy. He confuses people. It's him who's resisting us. And so we need to pray and be in prayer. Prayer is what will win the battle. Prayer is what will make the change. We pray and we go out and we share. But don't be discouraged. Meet resistance. Didn't stop Paul and Barnabas sharing. They moved on. They kept sharing. We need to be sensitive, but not to stop sharing just because someone doesn't like what we have to say. We need to win a hearing by how we live and what we say. But pray for those who show interest too, because when someone shows interest, the enemy comes in and tries to axe that and stop it. So we need to pray for people who show interest. So let me just encourage you this morning, as Paul went out and took that message out in a way he didn't know, he hadn't done it before, into a culture that he hadn't done before, and sharing the truth. We are in the same boat. We are doing the same thing. So let's go in teams. Let's encourage one another as we do it. Let's do good things. Let's be a blessing. Let's explain the gospel in context of their lives in ways that help them understand. And let's see God use us as a church out into this community. Despite all the COVID, despite all the reasons, why not? Let's move forward and allow God to use us. Hope this morning has been helpful. Let's just pray. Father, I just want to thank you, Lord, that you have called us to share the truth about you. Father, we've discovered that you are a wonderful Heavenly Father. and thank you for all that you've done in our lives. And Father, I pray you'd help us now to just speak out about you to others. Father, help us to pray and to trust you for opportunities. And Father, that you would just put before us people that we can share with, people for whom we can do good. Father, we'd be able to do those good works that you give us to do. Lord, out of that would come conversations and opportunities with people just to talk to them about the truth that you love them, that you care for them. Father, we ask for your guidance and we ask for your blessing this week as we step out in faith in your name. We ask it. Amen.